We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
If you don't know, my name's Chris, and we are I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church. So glad everyone's here, and this is the final week of our Orthodoxy, Orthopraxy series. We've discovered that we need a correct belief, and we've talked about that. That correct belief is orthodoxy, and we need a correct action, and that is orthopraxy, and we need both of them, all right? We've also asked this a lot. What kind of church is this? We want to be the same original church that we read about in the book of Acts. That's exactly the kind of church we want to be. We want to have their belief because we believe it was correct, and we want to have their action. We believe it was correct. In fact, we have the same mission. Let's look at that mission. I want you to say this mission with me: to declare the good news of Jesus and see others become followers of Christ. You need to know your mission. Every good soldier needs to know their mission. You are kind of useless if you don't know your mission. Get to know your mission. Our mission is to declare the good news of Jesus and see others become followers of Christ. And we will do this by trying, by having the same beliefs and actions of the first century church. If you're going to accomplish the mission of the first century church, you ought to have the same belief and the same action as the first century church. Our vision is to be a first century church connecting with a 21st century world. I'd like you to say that with me. First century church connecting with a 21st century world. When we look into the book of Acts, we see values that show up over and over again in the lives of first century Christians. And we want to live out these six values. Look at them really quick with me. Six values. They were Jesus-centered. They always experience spiritual transformation. Everyone focuses on Acts chapter 2. The Spirit poured itself out. That was not the only time that happened. Happened throughout the book. There's always spiritual transformation. There was community. We've talked about that. Mission. We just talked about that. Connecting with culture. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more today. And then last, willingness. These are the six values that we see in the book of Acts. We want you to have these values in your life, and we want those values resident in the life of Redemption Church. Are you with me? Are you with me? Can you get behind that? Is that exciting? We want to be that kind of church. We want you to join us on this exciting mission. It's not just the mission of the lead pastor, the care pastor, the youth pastor, or the ushers, or whoever's working, the worship leader. It's not just their mission. It's all of our mission. And we want you to bring what you can bring to this mission. We want you to bring your passion to this mission, whatever that passion is. Some of you are really passionate about throwing parties, and you're really generous, and you are just a world expert party thrower. We want you to throw parties in the kingdom of God. Go ahead. We'll find a way for you to use that passion. Some of you are passionate about getting out in nature and going on hikes. Let's find a way to use that for God. Let's find a way to use your ideas, your abilities, your talents. Let's bring them right into this mission and this vision. We want you to do that. Yes. All right? We want the same result that the book of Acts church had. What did they do? They changed the world. We read it last week. Marshall talked about this, that they were accused of being the people that turned the world upside down. Yes. You've heard that phrase? It was first used to describe Christians in the first century. We want to be those kind of Christians. We want to turn the world upside down. Now, that was a quick review. Now, I'd like to talk to you about toothpaste. I've been dreaming of saying that all week, seeing what y'all would do. All right. No one got up and left. All right. Yeah, that's when we have revival. Toothpaste. And everyone's just, these altars are open.
Out of control.
Yes. Wow. All right. That was every bit of smooth transition as I thought it would be. When you go down the toothpaste aisle at your local grocery store, it can be overwhelming. Have you been there? It's kind of crazy. It's not just one aisle. It's like both sides of the aisle. It's like walls of dental care. You've got all this floss. You've got all these toothbrushes. You've got all this toothpaste. You've got all this mouth rinse. You got all this crazy stuff. It's just, it's everywhere. It's a little bit overwhelming. I went and I just discovered just a few of the products available to you at your local Walmart. And it was really funny. While I was on that aisle, people came up one after another. And everyone, I should have videoed it, because one after another, everyone came up and they said, "Oh my gosh, there's just so much. Which one do I choose? Which one do we need?" And it's like this huge, big decision. I mean, these are our teeth.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Most toothpaste brands carry multiple products. And it's crazy. Crest had like 10 different products. We have just some of them up here. You got Crest Pro Health. Pro Health. Their anti-health doesn't sell as well. All right. That's a different type of it. This one's also a tartar sensitive thing. And then you got cavity protection over here. Oh, this one's really cool. It's got whitening with scope. Check that out. All right. Tartar protection. 3D white. It's not enough to be white. It's 3D white. All three D's of whiteness. All right. There's a clinical gum protection. All right. Whitening with baking soda. Those are just some crazy examples. And that's about half of what was available just from Crest. All right. It was ridiculous. Now here's the deal. Although the product is simple, right? This is about the simplest product you can find anywhere. It's paste you scrub on your teeth. It's really not more complicated than that. Although the product is simple, the makers of toothpaste have never stopped coming out with new innovations and new improvements. They're always finding a way. Maybe we could, you know, it's 99.9% effective. Maybe we can find a way to improve it better. The makers of your toothpaste want you to try their latest line. They really believe that they can improve the product. That's really what they believe. If there is going to be a breakthrough in dental care, Crest wants you to believe that they're the ones that's going to bring that breakthrough right to your mouth. Right? That's what they are on this mission, all right? What a crazy, boring mission. Aren't you glad that's not your mission life? I'm going to improve this mouthpaste. These products and other products like it are always being marketed as new and improved. You've seen that slogan before. It's like the hallmark of marketing right there. Here's this product. How are we going to get them to buy more? Well, let's make it new, and then let's improve it and put a sticker on it. Sometimes I wonder if they've actually improved it. They just put a new sticker, a new improved sticker. All right. And 9 out of 10 dentists agree that you should definitely use this new and improved product. I want to ask you a question. If something as simple as toothpaste can be improved, then might there be some things in your life that could be improved? Could there be some things in God's church that could be improved? Especially if God is the master of this improvement, don't you think God can make his church new and improved? Am I with you with me so far? Do you believe that? You believe that? Good. Something for you to think about. But first, let's talk about God. God is not a product. This is a product right here. God is not a product. He is not made. He is not assembled in Taiwan. He's not put together by anyone. He has no beginning. He has no ending. In fact, we don't find a drawing board where somebody sketched out, "Oh, this is God. There he is. Let's build this." We have no evidence of that. This is God. He is not a product. He is not man-made. Can I get an amen on that? Genesis 1:1, it tells us, you know this verse, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There is no "in the beginning, God was created." No, "in the beginning, God started creating," because God was never created. And in Revelation 1:8, you have the Lord talking. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the beginning and the end. That Alpha is the first letter. Alpha, Omega is the last letter. It's the A to Z, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then in Acts 17:29, Paul says this, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone. We shouldn't think that he is an image by man's design and skill. All right? God is not a product. God is the maker. Look at somebody, say, God's the maker. Psalm 95:6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Just stop right there. God's created some invisible things you don't even see. Next time you just get bored with what he is seeing, let me just take your brain and throw it against the wall and just jumble you all up. God's created things that are invisible. Amen. One day you're going to experience them. It's going to be amazing. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's one of my favorite verses. I really believe when it says all things, I believe all things are holding together by God. I believe that he is the gravity that holds it all together. I believe he is the nucleus that's holding together all the atoms. I believe he is all of those things. He holds all things together. Without him, everything would fall apart. He's not a product. He's the maker. And he didn't just make the thing. He's maintaining the thing, and he's holding the thing together. Since God is not a product, this might be a strange ad slogan for him. How about it? Let's try it on. Not new and not improved. God. Not new and not improved. He is the ancient one. He's referred to as the ancient one. He is called the Ancient of Days in your Bible. Micah 5:2, I like quoting this verse when it's not Christmas for once. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and ancient times. That baby born in that manger, we always quote this at Christmas time, that baby born in that manger isn't a new baby. He's old and he's of ancient times. God is not a new product. He's not new. He's the ancient maker of everyone and everything. He is not new, and he's not improved. You can't improve God.
That's right.
Oh, come on, somebody. You can't improve God. He's perfect.
Amen.
He's complete.
Amen.
He's all on his own, complete and whole.
Yes.
You can't improve on him. You can't add anything to God to improve him.
Right.
You can't add to his power. He's all powerful already. You can't add to his love. It's already perfect and unconditional. You can't add to the stripes of Jesus Christ. They are more than enough for your healing already. What ingredient can be added to his grace and his mercy? His forgiveness extends to everyone. What, you can't improve his reach. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's not lacking in some knowledge or understanding that you can give him. And he's like, oh, great, that really helps me out. God is not like that. You can't improve him that way because he knows everything and he understands everything. Guess what? He understands your problem today. He knows about your fear. He knows about your pain. He knows it. You don't even have to come to him and say, God, this is what's going on, because he knows it already. It says he knows before you even ask what your needs are. You can't improve God. He's not new. He's not improved. Look at somebody, tell him. He's not new and he's not improved. God is not a product that can be improved.
Amen.
He is the maker of heaven and earth.
That's right.
And he loves you.
Amen.
He cares for you. And whatever your need is, he will provide it. He said so. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. Have you been worrying? Have you been fretting? Have you forgotten that this God, he is perfect and he's the maker of all things? Have you been trying to improve God? Have you ever tried to improve God? Maybe you've done something like this. Maybe you've been trying to add your works in order to gain his love. Have you ever tried that? You can't improve his love. There are some groups out there, there's some religious groups out there that they are knocking on your door. They're knocking on your door because they believe they have to do that or they won't go to heaven. As much as they would like to share the truth with you, they're really saving their own skin in their own belief because they think they have to add this work in order to gain his affection, to gain his blessing. Let me tell you, that's trying to improve a not new and not improved God. Have you been trying to feel bad enough? Have you been trying to feel sorry enough? Have you been, oh, I gotta cry a little bit more? More tears? If I just cry enough, then he'll forgive me. Let me tell you, he will forgive you every time you ask. He is faithful and just to forgive you when you confess your sins to him. You can improve that. Have you been trying to worship him with enough passion? Enough exuberance? Enough maybe solemnness? Or maybe enough volume to gain his favor or attention? You're trying to improve an unimprovable God. You aren't understanding his love for you. Time out. Most of our problems in life can be taken back to this sentence. We aren't understanding his love for us. Have you been trying to be holy enough for you to somehow unlock his power? If I'm holy enough, if I don't think the wrong things enough and I just concentrate enough, that's when God's power will be on me. I grew up in a paradigm where we say, that's when the anointing will hit you, brother, when your lifestyle is pleasing and honorable to God. So then if you did feel God's power and you did, then you were like, see that? My lifestyle must be pretty good. And it goes straight to pride. It's a big mess. Let me tell you, you can't be holy enough because you aren't holy at all. Our righteousness is what? It's like filthy rags. That's a verse you ought to know. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. If you took a dirty, nasty rag and tried to clean your table with it, would it get very clean? No, it wouldn't. That's your righteousness. That's the only improvement you could bring to him. It's like trying to clean God with a nasty, dirty rag because you can't improve him. No one can improve him. Your righteousness, it's so beneath his level of righteousness. You can't be holy enough. And guess what? You can't earn his power. He places his Holy Spirit on you, and that's where your power comes from. You know, that's Acts 1 and 8. You shall receive power. Somebody said power. After the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes upon you. It says nothing about your holiness. It says nothing about you haven't made mistakes this week. The power is about the Holy Ghost, not about you. You can't improve God, so stop trying. He's not a product. He's the maker. You can't add anything because he makes everything and he holds it together. This is something I like to remind myself of. It's a simple phrase. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals my salvation. Jesus plus nothing equals my joy. Jesus plus nothing equals power and blessing. Jesus plus nothing. And I spent way too many years of my life thinking it was Jesus plus rule keeping equals love. That it was Jesus plus worshiping at a higher level than I ever have that would equal power. That it would equal Jesus plus something to get me what I needed. Oh, let me tell you, he's not new and he's not improved. He's not a product that you can make. He is the Lord Almighty. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Truth is also not new and not improved. God's truth is not new, not improved. Be careful if someone comes to you saying, hey, I have a new and better truth. Be careful. Because truth isn't new. Truth is not suddenly created like, ding, new truth. There it is. It's all shiny and new, right? Now, truth can be discovered. And God can reveal truth. And it might be new to you, but it isn't new. Truth is not new. And you might have a clearer understanding. You might be better to articulate truth. But that doesn't mean it's new. Truth isn't new. In fact, truth is ancient. It's old. Let me tell you this. I believe this is an important point. You need to get this. Truth doesn't evolve. There's a real attack on truth in the world where they want you to think that truth evolves, that what was true for them was true for them, but now we have a different truth now, and truth over time has evolved. Truth does not evolve. Truth is old and it's not improved. Not new, not improved. Our understanding of truth can evolve. Our understanding of truth can change over time. But truth itself does not change. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Truth does not evolve. Truth stays the same. The truth the apostles preached wasn't new. It was new to the people that heard it. They're like, wow, we never heard anything like this before in our life. When you read the book of Acts, you see phrases like that pop up everywhere. Wow, we never seen anything like that before in our life. Jesus shows up in the Gospels. We've never seen anything like this before, and it was new to them. But let me tell you, it was not new. What they were seeing was new to them, but it was the ancient truth of God. It was that same God that spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and said, let there be. Instead of saying, let there be light, now he's saying, let there be eyeballs in that blind man's head. Let there be leprosy taken away from him. Let this man's sins be taken away from them. It's the same ancient truth, and it's the same ancient God. It is not new. In fact, the truth that the apostles preached had been around since the creation of the world. Revelation 13 and 8, it says that the Lamb was slain from about 33 AD. No? No. The Lamb was slain from where? The creation of the world. That truth was present in Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and then that Word became flesh. But that Word, that Logos, was in the beginning. Amen. Logos is the word for Word there, and it means the plan, the intention of God. God's plan was Jesus from the very beginning, says Revelations 13 and 8. So how old is truth? It's older than the creation of the world. Aren't you glad you know this truth today? Are you kidding me? We know this truth today. I want to tell you today that what you're doing right now is ancient. It's old. We may have sung a brand new song today, but we were practicing the same ancient truth that King David practiced when he sung unto the Lord, when he made music unto the Lord, when he danced before the Lord, when he wept before the Lord, when he bowed before the Lord, when you worship, you're not doing something new. You're doing the ancient practice of truth. Every time we come together, we worship together. That's nothing new. That's ancient. And you may have heard a new sermon today, but by hearing the word of God, you were practicing the ancient truth of receiving the word of God. Both Jew and Gentiles alike would gather together and encourage themselves and receive direction from the word of God. When you receive the word of God today, you aren't doing something new. You're practicing ancient truth. And you may bring a new prayer to God today. You may surrender a brand new area of your life. But let me tell you, you're practicing the ancient truth. Amen. By coming to talk to God today, you're joining people that talk to God like Abraham, people like Moses, the prophets, the New Testament believers who spoke to God. That same God is going to hear your prayers today. It is not new. It is ancient. We've got an ancient truth. When you talk to God today, you're practicing ancient truth. We believe church should be a place where the ancient and the new come together. That's what we believe. We believe ancient and new should come together. And this is why our vision is to be a first century church connecting with a 21st century world. Now, you use toothpaste, right?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Praise God. Thank the Lord. You use toothpaste, but that's nothing new, right? Toothpaste is nothing new. Your parents use toothpaste, right?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Y'all, good upbringing. Guess what? For centuries, people have been using a scrubbing paste to clean their teeth. And the purpose is the same. In fact, the actions were the same. They would take baking soda, just pour some baking soda in here, and then they would pour some water in it. I probably poured too much. And then they would take the communal toothbrush, a collective ooh in the audience, maybe? The communal toothbrush. Everyone is going to use this toothbrush and you're going to get your paste right out of here and you're just going to scrub that on those pearly whites. That is toothpaste to your great-grandparents. This is how they brushed their teeth. A little baking soda, a little water, and a brush. So I ask you, did anyone today use baking soda, some water, and use a communal toothbrush in your household today? Did anyone do this? Did anyone do this? No? No one did this? Really? Huh. Okay. Wonder why? Because that's what your grandparents used, right? Why wouldn't you do what your grandparents did? We got to remember these old things and we got to do them in our life, right? There are some people that the reason they go to a church, the church that they go to, is because it's the church their grandparents went to. And they aren't receiving anything new. But it's the church that they've always gone to. And so let's not change it. But none of them are brushing their teeth with baking soda today. Interesting. Because this has the same purpose, right? As this? Everything on this table has the same purpose. To clean your teeth. So why don't we use this? Why don't we use this? Let me tell you why you don't use this. You use this modern toothpaste in a tube because it accomplishes the same thing, but it tastes better. It has that fresh, minty flavor. It has additives in it that are good for you, like fluoride. Some people might disagree with that. Don't send me hate mail or anything. All right. It looks a little more appealing. Absolutely, right? It's more readily available and it's easier to use. Also, it's more hygienic to everyone have their own toothbrush. If there's any family in the church that you're using a communal toothbrush, come talk to us. I will do my best to end that. I will buy you toothpaste and toothbrushes. Here's the reason why we use this. It's because it fits our life better. Would you agree? That's why you buy this. It was $3.97, and you said, this is better than that. Are you agreed? Am I coming from left field? All the tweaks and improvements that Crest has made didn't change the purpose of the toothpaste. It's absolutely the same. Churches over the last half century have had wars over the ancient and the new. They have come to blows. They have said nasty things to each other. They have seen each other at Luby's and not talked to each other because those people don't have drums in their church. Oh, those people do have drums in their church, and that everyone knows that's demonic, and everyone knows that they really aren't worshiping God, that they're just following tradition. So let's not talk to each other. That is the whole last century product, things like that. The ancient versus new has created a lot of church splits, a lot of changes in denominations. More denominations have jumped up because of such things. There are some people that decided, you know what, we're just not ancient enough. Let's move out and into the wilderness and let's live like the Amish, away from electricity. Let's get as ancient as we can. Churches have split over the choice to use ancient hymns or new contemporary worship, even though the purpose is the same. Stained glass cathedrals or modern church buildings, they serve the same purpose. People to gather in them and worship. Candlelight or special theatrical lighting. As long as God is receiving the glory, what's the big deal? It's the purpose. Look at somebody, say, wake up. It's the purpose. God and his truth, it's not new and not improved. Let me bring all this together for you. God and his truth are not new and not improved, but style, preference, musical taste, technological advances don't have to be not new and not improved. Sorry for the double negative. They don't have to be not new and not improved. And what I'm saying is, style over time has changed. Culture over time has changed. Musical styles and technology has changed. You don't have to use old technology to just honor the ancient. You don't have to use ancient 15th century hymns only to honor the ancient. There are some churches where the only Bible they will preach from or read from is the Bible that was printed in 1611, the original King James Version, and every other version is of the devil. Those churches are out there, and they give me the creeps. The Ancient of Days likes new things. Psalm 96 and 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. That's just a few verses taken from your Bible. There are those out there who think God really isn't being worshipped unless he's being worshipped in a liturgical setting with a choir and a pipe organ and a minister wearing a robe. Oh, and don't forget the stained glass. And God's not really being worshipped unless all those things are happening. It's got to look that way. It's got to have that certain feel, right? But then there are those who think God really isn't being worshipped unless it's done in a contemporary setting with a rock and roll band and a minister with tattoos and skinny jeans. I promise you. The Bible tells us not to swear, but I promise you this. I will never wear skinny jeans. There, I said it. Amen. All right. Amen. These altars are open. Got a clap out of that. All right. My figure is that bad. All right. Or a theater setting in a big stage, and they think, there are the other people that think God's not being worshipped unless it's that setting. And of course, these two types, they do what? They demonize each other. The traditional says of the contemporary, you know what? They're lacking reverence for God. And the contemporary will say, you know, the traditionalists, they just aren't really worshiping with their heart, and they're really just stuck in their traditions. And that's what Christianity does to each other. I want to tell you real quick that the power isn't in the ancient. The power isn't that it's old. The fact that other people sang to the Lord 2,000 years ago doesn't bring any power to it. People are not healed or saved because we have this old tradition. That's not why. That the power's not in it being old. That's not the power. But the power isn't in its new, sleek packaging either. The fact that people are gathered in a 21st century building with new songs and current styles, that doesn't bring any power either. The lives of people aren't being transformed because of the new things those churches are doing. Where does the power come from? The power comes from the Maker. The power comes from God, regardless of new or ancient styles. I guarantee you, if we all just got up today and suddenly could walk into the Kiesel's church in Maikop, Russia, we'd have a little culture shock. It would be really kind of different. There would be some different things going on. But I guarantee you this, regardless of the style, regardless of what's going on, God is there and you can find him. And the same spirit that fills your life here can fill you there. The same spirit that heals you, it'll be there. The same spirit that reveals truth to you, it'll be there. In fact, one day if there were no churches and every Christian had to live underground, your hope was never in this meeting place. Your hope was never in hearing somebody preach to you and yell at you their sermon. The power was God. The power was the truth. The power was the Spirit. That's where the power is. It's in the purpose. It's not in the ancient, and it's not in the new sleek packaging. It is in God, the Maker. We're such messed up people. Do I have to convince you of that? Can you just say amen? We're just such messed up people. But I want you to get a load of this God we serve. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is working, that is at work where? Where is his power? Are you sure it doesn't? I think they meant to say church steeples. Power is in church steeples. Power is in the songs we sing. The power is in our... Let me tell you, the power, what's so amazing is that you and I, we messed up people. God has placed his power in us. The Holy Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it can be in you. And that power can work in you. That power that does immeasurably more than anything you can ask or imagine. That's the power God wants to place inside you. Amen. That's where the power comes from. Let's not argue over the old ways or the new ways. That is about as smart as arguing over toothpaste. Instead, let's be filled with the Spirit. What do you say? What do you say we just get filled with the Holy Ghost? What do you say? Let's be a church that is filled with the Holy Ghost, just like Acts chapter 2. What do you say? I think Plano and Irving, Texas needs to see a church that is filled with God's presence and his Spirit and his power. They need to see it not just working in a lead pastor. They need to see it working in a youth group. They need to see it working in families. They need to see it working in children. They need to see it working in everybody because it is available to everybody. Let's be just like that first century church. Let's be passionate worshipers. Let's be people of the word. Let's be people of prayer. Because guess what? That's where the power is. We refuse to get in an old versus new war. A traditional versus contemporary battle. Those wars are pretty kind of dumb, we think. However, at Redemption, we want to be a church that connects to the culture of today. So while we aren't arguing, we are making a clear choice. We're charting a course for us. We don't play many 15th century hymns here, right? We have nothing against them. We have nothing against the people that like them. I like some of the old 15th century hymns. But we would wager to guess that none of you drove to church today rocking out to "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." We just wager to guess that no one was rocking out to 15th century hymns. Am I off beat here? Anyone? All right. No one was doing that. So we want our music and how we choose to worship, the music that we choose to worship with, to connect with the culture of today. We don't want people to have to walk into a 15th century time warp in order to come find God, when God will plainly work in today's culture just as well. Amen. We dress pretty relaxed and comfortable here. That means we have nothing against fancier dress. But we don't want people to think that they need to wear a suit to come find Jesus. We want how we live out faith to connect with the culture of today. And we want our ministry of this ancient truth to impact a modern culture. That's what we want. That means we will not compromise that truth. That means we're not finding some new truth, y'all. But that we will deliberately look for a new and improved way to connect with culture. That's what we're looking for. God is not new and he's not improved. But you can be new and improved. And his church can be new and improved. I asked this question at the beginning of the sermon. If something as simple as toothpaste can be improved, then might there be something in your life that can be improved? And might there be something in God's church that can be improved? We'll be talking to God very soon. We do that every time we come together. And I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about, is there an area of your life right now that needs to improve? I want you to find that area. Where is it? Is there an area of your life that needs to improve? You get angry too easily. You having trouble forgiving others. You have trouble being generous. You have something that you keep hitting that wall and you can't ever break through. Is there an area in your life that you need to be improved? Do you believe that God can bring a breakthrough to your life? Do you believe he can do it right now? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? We talked about the Holy Spirit today. And it's really embarrassing, but there are a lot of churches today and Christians out there that they don't know a thing about the Holy Spirit. They just think they know the name and the title of it. They don't know it personally. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you have that power we talked about working all on the inside of you? Do you have that? If you don't, God's got that improvement for you today. You could be new and improved before you leave. And if you aren't sure of any of these areas that you need improvement on, if you're sitting here today and you don't particularly feel like there's any area you think you're okay, all right, we're not going to badger you. But then could you come pray for your church today? Could you come pray that the people of God, that the body of Christ would be new and improved today. If you don't feel like you need to be new and improved today, could you pray for your church? Because we need to be new and improved. Look around you. There are empty chairs all over this house. They need to be filled with your friends. They need to be filled with people finding Jesus. They need to be filled. Your church needs to reach them. Will you come pray for your church today? Will you pray that your church would be improved in its burden for the lost? Would you come and pray that your church would be really a first century church, not just a slogan, but really be that first century church in power and in belief? I want you to come pray that Redemption Church will be new and improved. And if you want special prayer today, you should know this by now, but I'll tell you again, you come into the first 2 feet and we're going to pray and God's presence is going to meet us there. Why don't you come? This place is open right now.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.